Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Common Sense, something that used to be common but isn't anymore. And have you noticed that the government seems to be broken, that Washington's in turmoil, that we don't seem to have policies that are for the people anymore, policies that are for political gain and for parties and for ideologies? And America was not supposed to be about people pushing their agendas. It was going to be a country that was of, for, and by the people. And it was supposed to be different from all the other countries. Well, today we're going to be talking to our guest, Congressman Andy Barr of Kentucky's 6th District. Congressman Barr has been serving the people of Kentucky and America faithfully since 2013. I had many pleasant interactions with him when I was secretary. He was a true representative of the people. Unfortunately, that does not seem to be the case with so many people these days, but Congressman Barr is a member of the House Financial Services Committee and a ranking member on the Subcommittee on National Security, International Development, and Monetary Policy. He also sits on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the Subcommittee on Asia, the Pacific, Central Asia, and Nonproliferation, as well as the Republican Study Committee. So you can see he's not just sitting around twiddling his thumbs. He obviously has a lot that is going on. But I'd be interested, Congressman, as a first question, at American Cornerstone, we're working with our More Perfect Union to get people to understand our founding documents. We have a new program called Executive 101 that's coming out soon, teaching people how the government actually works. But could you give our viewers a little insight into the work that goes on in some of these very important committees that you're on?
Well, Dr. Carson, first of all, thank you for inviting me to be part of this show and podcast, and it's an honor to be with you because I've always looked up to you as a public servant, as a citizen leader of our country, coming from the private sector and your medical career and then serving our country as Secretary of HUD. You're a real patriot, and I appreciate the fact that you you get it. You have your priorities straight. You recognize that our founding really matters, and the government is truly a servant of the people and not the other way around. And yes. We need more of that thinking in our country right now when the arrogance of Washington seems that the people should serve Washington instead of the other way around. When you see these proposals of growing government, 87,000 new IRS agents, that is the kind of mentality we don't need, where the government thinks that the people should be serving the government, not the other way around. So thanks for your leadership. What goes on in these committees? Well, what we're supposed to be doing is representing the people and the interests of the people and holding the government accountable. And unfortunately, in so many of these committees these days, especially the Financial Services Committee, it's about giving government bureaus and government bureaucracy and administrators, unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats, political cover, and not holding them accountable for rules, regulations, red tape that's making life harder for the American people. What we hope to see in the Congress is a Congress that's more centered around the sovereign, the people, and that holds government accountable. So there's a lot there in the Financial Services Committee because we have oversight over a large swaths of the economy. We have jurisdiction over HUD and housing policy. We have jurisdiction over all of the financial regulators and the Securities and Exchange Commission. And we want to make sure that the free enterprise system is operating well in the interest of investors and small businesses that need access to capital. And we want to make sure that we don't see the politicization of capital allocation.
It was so important, I noticed, as the HUD secretary, to have individuals like yourself who are actually interested in the oversight of the government agencies and not just interested in scoring political points and attacking people who don't believe the same things that they believe. And that was something that I found sad, that there were so many people who just had agendas and they really didn't care how the agency was being run. And that's a real problem. And as you probably remember, there hadn't been any audits at HUD for 8 years because there were so many material defects you couldn't do an audit. So that was one of the first things to get straightened out. We'll be back with our great friend, Andy Barr from Kentucky.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back with today's guest, Congressman Andy Barr. You know, the government economists and so many others seem to think that there's a natural ebb and flow to the economy, that there will be times when the economy is booming and times when it is very depressed, and it's more of a natural cycle. Do you think that that's the case? You've been there for a little while, or is it policies? And is COVID to blame for inflation and crime and Putin and Afghanistan and supply chain issues and the southern border? COVID explain all those things?
No, it does not. It certainly does not. Policy does matter. And economic cycles are not inevitable phenomena that we as policymakers cannot control. to a certain extent, there are some exogenous events that obviously impact the economy, like a pandemic or war, that have impact on supply and demand. But what we are experiencing today with the two consecutive quarters of negative growth with historic 40-year inflation is not just the pandemic, not just the war in Ukraine. It has a lot to do with bad policy, bad fiscal policy, and bad monetary policy. So why is it that we in this country are experiencing price instability, skyrocketing prices, Americans who can't afford to put gas in the truck or put groceries in the refrigerator or food on the table or buy a new car or used car right now? Why are prices so high, and why is inflation out of control? It's because of a classic supply-demand mismatch, because you have excess demand in an economy, $2 trillion, now another $750 billion in spending after all of the COVID money, and there was $1 trillion still unspent COVID money when they passed the American Rescue Plan and then this so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which is really the Inflation Expansion Act. So you created excess demand on the one hand with trillions and trillions of dollars of spending. And on the other hand, the government constrained the supply. They constrained the supply of labor by paying people to not work. And they constrained energy when President Biden declared a war on domestic energy production. Fuel goes into everything. It goes into transportation costs. It goes into manufacturing. And obviously at the price of the pump and heating your home, when you constrain supply like we have, where there's no permits for any new coal, oil, natural gas, when you cancel infrastructure projects like the Keystone XL pipeline, when you hold up 4,400 permits, when you frustrate the development and construction of new refineries, all of that results in a policy where we are producing 3 million fewer barrels of petroleum in the United States versus 2 years ago.
And it would have that impact whether there were Democrats in charge or Republicans in charge.
Yeah.
These issues are non-political.
It's
logical.
That's right. It's basic economics. And what it goes to show, Dr. Carson, as you well know, is you cannot repeal the law of supply and demand. There are certain laws that come out of Washington, but there are also some basic laws and principles of economics. And supply and demand is something that so many politicians and bureaucrats in Washington do not seem to understand. When you constrain supply and you create excess demand, that pushes prices up. And then to add fuel to the fire, of course, there were huge monetary policy mistakes at the Federal Reserve. So you have these fiscal policy errors. And then on top of that, the Federal Reserve, when we said it wasn't transitory, when our constituents were feeling the pain and saying that these price hikes were persistent, Secretary Yellen and the Fed officials maintained that this was going to be transitory. It was not, and they kept interest rates too low for too long, and they continued their quantitative easing, the so-called bond buying, that flooded the economy with excess money supply, and that just made the inflation situation worse. And so now the Fed is in catch-up mode, and they're having to raise rates, not gradually, but precipitously, and that's making the financial markets do what they're doing. That hurts people's 401ks, people who are saving for retirement, people who are saving for college, middle-income people trying to save for college, doing the right thing, by the way, not relying on the government to bail them out with a loan forgiveness that punishes people who do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But this is why the economy is sick right now, a combination of bad fiscal policy and bad monetary policy.
And of course, it all has a domino effect because, you know, what we did with our energy policies gave Putin the energy keys. He would not have gone to Ukraine had we not given him the energy keys. And then our various responses have, I think, emboldened others. There's no telling what China will do with Taiwan now. And, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon, but if you look back over history, before the United States became the dominant power, there were all these despotic leaders trampling on anybody who was weaker than them. And that abated to a significant degree as our power and influence increased. Now, as our power and influence is on the wane, those despots are starting to pop up again. And it really shows the importance, I think, of a strong United States of America in the world. But, you know,
it does.
What is your take on what's going on in the South Pacific with Taiwan and China?
Well, you made a good point about energy, and energy weakness invites aggression, whether it's Putin in Ukraine or what's happening in Beijing right now, and the aggression that the Chinese Communist Party is showing to or directing towards Taiwan. This disastrous retreat from Afghanistan signaled to the world and to the despots of the world, as you say, a weakness and an unwillingness to stand by our allies. Our commander-in-chief left over 1,000 American citizens behind enemy lines, let alone the tens of thousands of Afghans who worked side by side with our military. And the fact that this administration was so unprepared to help our allies, I think, sends a signal of weakness, and I think emboldens our adversaries like the Chinese Communist Party, like Putin. Energy is very important from a geopolitical standpoint. We went from a position of energy dominance to energy desperate in just a year and a half. And as you said, that really emboldened Putin. It's actually financing this war in Ukraine, because when energy prices go up because of constrained supply, that helps the Russian economy. That helps prop up Putin. That helps finance their aggression. What does that mean for Taiwan? What does that mean in China? Well, Xi Jinping is watching how the West responds to Putin's aggression in Ukraine. And I think, consistent with Sun Tzu, they're carefully calculating how the West has responded in the way of sanctions. And they're learning. They're learning how the United States and NATO has responded with sanctions against Russia. And China is, I think, trying to develop a separate financial system that would enable them, if they made a move on Taiwan, to evade international sanctions.
Absolutely.
So we need to be very prepared for that. And weakness invites aggression. And so we need to reestablish deterrence by becoming more energy independent, by, of course, military deterrence, by peace through strength, a strong investment in our military to deter aggression. And then on Taiwan specifically, we need to further integrate our economies with Taiwan. We need a free trade agreement with Taiwan. We need to get those foreign military sales to Taiwan, which they've asked for, they've purchased, but we haven't delivered.
Well, you put it so crisply and easy for people to understand. I just hope people are listening to Logic and Common Sense, what a difference it makes. And we'll be back in 1 minute with our great friend and representative, Andy Barr from Kentucky.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
And we're back with Common Sense. And today's guest, Congressman Andy Barr. You know, Congressman, I thought it was interesting recently to hear that California has decided that by the year 2035, no cars operated in a traditional way with traditional energy and fossil fuels will be allowed to be sold. And I understand the whole concept of green energy, renewable energy. I actually agree with it. But are there logical ways to approach that?
Yes, and I love the fact that this program is about common sense, because there's such a lack of common sense when you talk about energy and environmental stewardship and climate. Republicans care as much or more about climate and the environment as Democrats. It's not a political issue. We all live on this planet. We all want a healthy environment for our kids and for our grandkids. We have a moral obligation to pass that on. The question is, what's the right way to achieve that goal? I think many of the on the left in California, for example, believe that if we just have more pages in the regulation books, if we have more laws, that somehow that's going to change the weather. I've never believed that central planning is the solution to anything. I've never believed that adding 1,000 pages to the Federal Register will do anything to change the weather. What will help with combating climate change is science, technology, innovation, and free enterprise. And the sad irony of the Biden administration's war on energy, in my view, is that it's very counterproductive. Most of the polluters and pollution and carbon emissions are happening in China, India, and lesser developed countries. We have reduced emissions in the United States mainly through innovation, and innovation in fossil energy. We're making great strides towards harnessing the carbon cycle, carbon sequestration, and other innovations. And some of the best and brightest scientists and innovators in the world are actually working in U.S. energy companies. And so when I talked about this war on energy, killing infrastructure, pipelines, refineries, holding up permits, yes, that's part of their war on energy. But ground zero in the Biden administration's war on American energy is weaponizing our financial regulators to redirect capital and financing away from American energy companies. Now, when you think about common sense, Dr. Carson, does it make common sense to deprive and starve the most innovative scientists in the world on energy and the environment of the capital that they need to innovate? To me, we need more financing, not less financing, of U.S. energy companies so that they can make the transition.
Exactly.
And if you starve the best and brightest and the scientists of the capital that they need, they will not be able to make the innovations, the transition to renewable energy, and therefore export it to the real polluters.
Exactly. I always say, use what you have to get what you want. Don't destroy what you have and then wish for what you want.
That's a good one. That's a good point.
That seems to be what's happening. Another question I've wondered about, and I'm sure a lot of people wonder about, we have many people who go into government and they seem like really good and decent people, and then something happens to them over the years. What exactly is it in Washington that changes people?
Well, of course, people get full of themselves, and it's sometimes a rude awakening when they lose their elections. And we saw some interesting primary elections recently, and I think you had some incumbents lose their seats in primaries. They lose their seats in general elections. And sometimes they're surprised. I think they're surprised because they lost touch with the people they represent. You know, one thing I think politicians in Washington or any leaders have to always remember in a democracy is, as what we were talking about at the top of the show, these seats do not belong to politicians. They belong to the American people. I always surprise young people in my district, school children, for example, when I tell them, you know, you're my boss, and their eyes get really big. But I think, you know, what are we teaching our kids in civics classes when they don't know that? Our Constitution was set up based on the consent of the governed. We are supposed to be the servants of the people. And I think people lose elections and they become out of touch when they forget that they work for the people. And when they have arrogance that they know best, that's when the American people step up and make a change. And they should.
And that's why our Constitution is so valuable, because our founders understood that the natural tendency of government is to grow and to dominate. That's what they do. It's not because they're bad people. It's just a natural
nature
function. And, you know, unless you control it, you will not be able to keep what we have. And that's why Benjamin Franklin, after the Constitution was finished in 1787, came out of the hall and was asked the question, what do we have, sir, a monarchy or a republic? And he said, a republic if we can keep it.
Yes.
Knowing how important it was that we adhere to the Constitution.
Franklin was a wise man, and so was James Madison. And I often get the question from constituents, isn't it inconvenient that you have to run every 2 years? Shouldn't it be 4 years or 6 years like senators? And I actually say no. I think if you've got a problem with that, take it up with James Madison. This is exactly what James Madison wanted. He wanted members of the House of Representatives to be accountable, closely accountable to the American people, and subject to elections every 2 years, precisely for that reason, because the people are in charge. And if their representatives are not representing their views, they have a right every 2 years to make a change. And I think that's a very healthy thing for our democracy, to have that level of accountability to the sovereign, to the people.
Well, we want to thank Congressman Barr for joining us today, and also for his willingness to jump into the fray and represent the people of Kentucky so well. And we'll be back in a moment with our prescription and to answer a couple of your questions. Once again, you know, we try to answer some of your many questions from time to time. And here we have a question from Benjamin Deere. He writes, Dear Dr. Carson, my wife and I have three children and have chosen to homeschool. The oldest starts kindergarten this year. Do you have any advice for us and parents in similar situations? Well, I'll tell you, education is the key to great success in our society. It doesn't matter what socioeconomic status you came from. If you get a good education, you write your own ticket. So it is vital. And it is something that has been noted about our country for a long time until recently. And now we have a situation where you see those man on the street interviews, and they ask people simple questions. You know, what is Independence Day? What does that represent? Who fought in the Civil War? They have no idea. They don't know who the vice president is. They don't know how many justices there are on the Supreme Court. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you want to make sure that your children are well educated. So that means you may have to do some of it yourself. And some people are fortunate enough to be in the school systems that are very excellent. Others are not. I was not in an excellent school system growing up in inner city Detroit, but my mother motivated us to educate ourselves. And so I took advantage of the universities that were nearby when I was still in high school. I went to art galleries. I did all kinds of things to educate myself. And it paid off rather handsomely in many ways, including, you know, I became interested in classical music, and my wife is a classical violinist. We would have never gotten together had I not been interested in music. So, you know, there are a lot of great things that come from getting a good education. At American Cornerstone, we have a Little Patriots program, and I would encourage you to go to littlepatriotslearning.com and look at our K-5 educational program. It has wonderful lessons. We recently added another component that has a beautiful cartoon series called Star Spangled Adventures. and it takes separate topics. And through wonderful animation, we got some of the top animators from Disney and Pixar and ABC Kids, who were non-woke people, by the way, to put these things together. They're very entertaining, but extremely educational. So get involved with those kinds of programs. It's free of charge, by the way, because of our wonderful supporters and the books that we write associated with the program. All the proceeds go back to the program. So those are the kinds of things that I would be thinking about to make sure that your children are fortified and ready to go. And we also have a question here from Don and Henrietta Bascom. They write, Dr. Carson, my wife and I are doing what we can. How can we promote and encourage personal responsibility versus government dependence? Many of the crimes, addictions, abuses, etc. in our society originate from broken families and fatherless homes. What can we do as a nation to strengthen marriages so that our kids have a committed dad and mom to each other and to the kids, to raise the next generation to be hardworking, responsible citizens who want to serve others? Well, I don't think that that's a quick answer. That's a book. There's so many things that we need to be doing that we've forgotten about. But those are some of the real principles behind American Cornerstone Institute: faith, liberty, community, and life. And beginning to teach those principles from early on and to honor that, to respect each other. One of the reasons that we have all these people running around with high power weapons murdering other people is because they don't respect other people's lives. They don't respect other people's opinions. We've thrown away our faith, which teaches us to love your neighbor, not to hate your neighbor, not to cancel your neighbor. We are teaching the wrong things. And by teaching hatred and division and lack of respect, what else would you expect other than what we see going on right now? I don't think it's too late, but we need to understand that the core of our problems are not things like guns and other things that we blame. It's people, and it's how they are trained, how they are brought up, how their hearts are conditioned. That's what we need to be thinking about. And for your prescription this week, I want you to think about the floods, the horrible things that happened in Kentucky. Congressman Barr and others have been working so hard to try to alleviate some of those problems in the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. And I urge you to pray for the people whose lives have been impacted by those kinds of disasters. And you might want to visit one of the relief centers if you're in the area, or there are relief centers that can be supported. I'm sure they would be happy to receive a donation and some attention. And it really just goes back to, do we care about each other? You know, we did okay in this country before the government decided that they wanted to control everything. It's really about us and our relationships with each other. And if we make sure that those are solid, the rest of things will take care of themselves. So please subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts to our podcast, Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you go to get your podcast. And remember to rate us and review us. And if you're enjoying it, please tell others about it, so that influence can grow and that more people can have common sense. Thanks. And remember, faith, liberty, community, and life. See you next week.
Yeah. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.